All right, we're back in the DFSR here with our Wednesday MBA podcast for February 15th. I am Doug Norrie here doing another solo on the road pod. And as you can hear in the background, still staying in the middle of the city, so not in the usual recording space. So if you hear some of those sounds of cars going by and the honks and the sirens and whatnot, apologies, but a background-filled MBA podcast to me seems better than no podcast at all. So we will live with the noise in the background. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site, DFSR.com for short. You head over, grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system that's powered by Lineup Lab. Calculates optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that, and you are all set to go. Just 2 days before the NBA All-Star break starts, where we spend about a week sitting around twiddling our thumbs, being forced to stare at our family members and think about conversations we want to have with them because there's just no NBA going on. And the sports, I mean, I guess there's NHL if you follow that, but the sports world goes on somewhat of a hiatus here. So, but in preparation for that, today's slate is jam-packed. Just about every team is playing tonight. There's 12 games total. One of the bigger slates you're going to see. Then there's a very, very small 2-game slate tomorrow. But tonight's really the last big one before we head into the week-long All-Star break. And there's a lot to consider here. I'm going to break it down game by game, try to pull out some of the just different storylines and narratives we have going here, some of the injury concerns. Although I'll tell you right now, for this big of a day, there actually isn't a ton to think about in terms of injury, which is interesting. And actually could potentially make that 7 p.m. lineup lock just a little bit easier. There's a ton of games today. Things crop up during the day. But as of right now, there isn't an enormous amount of stuff that we're waiting to kind of figure out about. Let's start with the 7 o'clock game. It's Orlando and San Antonio. Yesterday, the big news coming out of Orlando and Toronto was Serge Ibaka gets traded to the Raptors for Terrence Ross in a first-round pick. I mean, Orlando, if you needed any other evidence that this team was a total mess, rudderless, really no clear idea of what they're doing, they trade away probably their strongest chip, their biggest chip in Ibaka, who does cost money, but is borderline elite power forward at this point, especially considering the way he can defend the rim and stretch defenses out beyond the three-point line. They trade him to Toronto for basically a song and Ross and that first-round pick, which will ultimately be not a very good one considering that the Raptors are now going to make a pretty strong push in the East. I don't know if it's enough to make up the gap between what the Cavs have, but look, this is a DFS podcast, so I don't need to go on all day about this trade. Ultimately, though, when you break it down, I mean, if you can read this on Twitter or online, the Magic essentially gave up something like Ersan, Sabonis, Tobias Harris, and there was like a couple other pieces, a first-round pick for Terrence Ross. I mean, when you factor out the Ibaka piece of it, so they are now going and playing San Antonio. They're big underdogs, though not as big as I would have thought, 10.5 points. The thing with the Magic tonight, though, is even if Terrence Ross plays, I don't think that that's really too much of a needle mover beyond for guys like Jeff Green, maybe Evan Fournier, but not really. I actually don't mind some of the Magic here tonight. They're coming very cheap in a game that if there was a game that Frank Vogel was now just going to play some guys' minutes, this really seems to be it. You lose a lot of minutes when you lose Ibaka. You lose usage as well. There's rebounds to be had. I know the matchup against San Antonio is not great, and there's definite blowout concerns, but you're getting a guy like Aaron Gordon at 4,500. Aaron Gordon, if they're now going to move him between the 3 and the 4 because Ibaka isn't there, him playing 35 minutes is not out of the realm of possibility. But at 4,500, I think it's easy to take that chance on him on FanDuel. He's a guy that look, you don't want to play guys against the Spurs are so good on defense. That price point is almost good enough for me to consider it. I'm going to really strongly consider it. And the same goes for guys like Fournier. Fournier is only 5,500. He'll play. He should play a ton of minutes. He's one of actually the safer guys in that whole lineup. If you think Elfrid Payton moves back into the starting lineup and starts, he's interesting. And these are all just because of their price points. I don't love the matchup, but you have to consider them at their prices, and they just lost a big piece of the puzzle for them. They clearly are now a worse team. They, again, they seem completely clueless from a front office standpoint about just even how to navigate the NBA in terms of trades and player acquisition. But, you know, what their losses are could be our gains in DFS. So take a real hard look at the Magic tonight, even with the rough matchup against San Antonio. Not so much interested in the Spurs side of this. The Kawhi is always interesting. If you think the game stays close and he plays some minutes, they have, you know, we've seen Dwayne Dedman put up some points on the cheaper side, but these aren't guys on a huge slate I'm probably going to want to target too much in cash games, just because there's a little bit of blowout risk. You're not getting great prices on guys like Kawhi at 9,900. Guys like Aldridge at 73, even at 34 minutes, 35 minutes, I don't think you're getting a great deal. So all this being said, I would take a hard look at the Orlando side. I would probably avoid the San Antonio side of that game. The other 7 o'clock game is Cleveland and Indianapolis, or Indiana. We'll screw up when to say Indianapolis and when to say Indiana when it refers to teams. I know it's the Indiana Pacers. I get caught in my, you know, old NFL podcasting days with the Colts. So the Pacers go to Cleveland. Cleveland's coming on a back-to-back here. LeBron played another game where LeBron played a ton of minutes last night, 40 minutes. In the win for them against the Timberwolves. That game was probably, you know, they were able to pull away at the end, but really only in the last 90 seconds or so did the game become, it did become really apparent that Cleveland was going to pull it out. There's no injury news here besides obviously Kevin Love. It seems insane to me that the Cavs continue to run LeBron out for major minutes. I believe he leads the NBA in minutes played this year. Coming off that championship run, they don't seem to be able to find ways to get him rest. And it's going to be even harder without Kevin Love there now to get him rest, because they just lose another scorer and just another, you know, elite talent that they can maybe get some of these schedule wins on. But man, again, there's no news, so I'm not really assuming this, but it would seem crazy to me to play LeBron, especially considering he's going to play in the All-Star game. So it's not like he gets a huge rest weekend. He probably will play, but it seems nuts to me. This is a good matchup for him. If you think he's going to run those high minutes again, I'd be a little bit concerned on the back-to-back. He's still very, very expensive, and he did not hit value on this price last night, even in 40 minutes, so keep that in mind. The big play from last night on the Cleveland side of the ball was Channing Frye. He was not as high a start as I thought he would be in cash games. I think only 55% on FanDuel, and I don't have the number out of the top of my head on DraftKings, but I really thought on a short slate with no Kevin Love, I thought he'd be a lot higher. He was amazing. He went 21-10, just shot 4-for-11 from three. That's exactly what we wanted to see from him, where he takes over a lot of that LeBron driving kick, LeBron passing out of the high post three-point looks that they're able to get Love. Those looks, and Frye is an elite shooter. So I think you can pencil him in for that exact same kind of production. I mean, he was amazing last night, so I don't think that probably is a little bit of an outlier. But this is still just another great matchup for him. And the getting him 33 minutes in the starting role, that was actually the only thing I was a little concerned with, was whether how much they were willing to play him, especially on the defensive end. He has less of that issue tonight. So last night, the defensive issues would have been with Deng and Kat, and they were able to weather that storm. With the Pacers, there's much less to worry about. You have guys like Kevin Seraphim, you know, Miles Turner, but Frye won't cover him. So, or LeBoy Allen, Frye is much, it's much easier actually to keep him on the court in this game than it would have even been last game. So I do think you end up seeing Frye as a chalkier play, just based on last night's performance, just because it's warranted. When you're getting a $5,000-ish player, somewhere in that, you know, expect him for that mid-20s or higher point total because of his new role. I still think you're getting a pretty nice value on him, especially at a power forward position that's typically pretty thin. So I do think you end up seeing Frye as a chalk play again tonight, and I do think it's correct. Some other interesting pieces for the Cavs. I mean, Derek Williams came off the bench. He's coming pretty cheap. That would just be a punt speculative play. Tristan Thompson's seen a few more minutes with Love off the court. They'll probably want to keep him out there to deal with Miles Turner. So the Cavs are interesting. I'm not that interested in the Indiana side of the ball because the Cavs just aren't a very good matchup, although this game does have a pretty high total, but I'm just not really seeing a ton on the Indiana side that I like. Though Jeff Teague, interesting considering that the Cavs really can't defend the point guard position all that well. The 7:30 games start with Toronto taking on Charlotte. Toronto's a -6 favorite here. DeRozan coming off a real bad shooting night last night. Really struggled from the field, especially in the first half. That actually submarined a lot of the Raptors' chances. They made a late push in the fourth quarter to get the game close against the Bulls. But really, the story was DeRozan shooting so poorly from the field put them at such a huge in such a huge hole at the end of the first half that they had trouble digging out of it. I actually don't mind going back to him today. People will be off him at such a huge slate. I do think the usage is still there for him. The big question for Toronto here today is whether or not Ibaka plays. For that reason, I probably will end up wanting on the Toronto side just to take a wait-and-see approach with this team. It's a big deal when a guy like Ibaka moves onto a new team, and it really does cascade down the entire roster in terms of what their new offensive plan is, like where the minutes are going to go, what they're going to look like in rotations, how a guy like Ibaka affects guys like Lowry and DeRozan. I mean, look, it clearly makes the Raptors a better team. That is not... That, there's no dispute about that. This is exactly what they needed, and they're just definitely on paper a much better team now. But from a fantasy perspective, it's a little tougher to know exactly where things shake out. For that reason, I probably, for the whole team, if Ibaka plays, for the whole team, I just take a wait-and-see approach on where the minutes are and hedge a little bit on the low side in terms of usage and in terms of just rebounding and all that stuff, just because I just want to see... I want a game or two sample size to know where to go. You want to take a risk on it in tournaments, go for it. But for cash games, I think you can definitely wait and see. Charlotte is going to be without Cody Zeller and Miles Plumlee again. That means we could probably see 37 to 38 minutes from Frank Kaminsky. His price has come up. He's 5,800 now on FanDuel, and that's because he's had a few game run of playing without Zeller, and we've seen that when Zeller sits now, their plan is to play Kaminsky at the five. Now, that's proven from a strategy standpoint. That is the Charlotte has just been a very bad team in the short term. They're struggling. I believe they're one for the last 11 or something like that. Yeah, it's some really, really bad run. Read a very interesting piece on I think it was Vice Sports this morning, breaking down why the Hornets might be one of the most hopeless teams in the NBA, just in terms of their current makeup and just assets that they have, which I thought was just an interesting read. Probably a little overstating the situation, but does make sense when you look at sort of how they break down the assets they have, the pieces they have. All that being said, though, Kaminsky, if you think Kaminsky, I mean, honestly, he could play almost 40 minutes in this game. They don't really have any other place to go in terms of big men if both Plumlee and Zeller are going to sit. He's just basically the biggest guy on the team. They have he and Marvin Williams, and that's really it considering they traded away Hawes and Hibbert. So 38 to 39 minutes out of him, that's such a huge floor. There's such a high floor for a guy who, you know, he will rebound. He'll shoot. He shoots the three, not particularly well, but they do give him opportunities in those pick and pops to try to get open looks. And other teams, oh, that was a big one going by. That was a motorcycle, I think. Other teams are totally content just letting him shoot basically wide open threes, probably correctly. So I do, even though you can look at his price and say to yourself, man, it's just getting too expensive for a guy like Frank. Man, there's very few other players, I think, that have the same kind of minutes floor that he has tonight, and that's really saying something. So take a hard look at Kaminsky. Take a look at Marvin Williams, sort of for the same reason. I think you could see mid-30s minutes out of him. You get a little bit of a usage bump for guys like Walker and Batum, considering Zeller's off the court. That helps them a little, though not a ton. Kemba, actually, no, never mind. We don't have a usage bump at all in there for Kemba as it is, and Batum as well. So never mind about getting the usage bumps. I do think you see some minutes out of them as well. It's a decent matchup. Kemba has struggled in the short term. Probably get him at somewhat of a discount. Coming now, 7,600 on FanDuel is a good price. So, especially if he's able to start getting hot from three. So, a couple interesting pieces there on Charlotte, led for me by Kaminsky mostly because of what I think ends up being his projected minutes. Milwaukee takes on Brooklyn, and we know the story with Brooklyn at this point. One of the teams we want to target pretty heavily every time they're on the docket for DFS. They're just a fast team, plays no defense, basically another clueless team that doesn't seem to know which bad players they want to play on a nightly basis. Not really interested in anything on the Brooklyn side. You can never trust who's going to play, who's going to start, who's going to sit, you know, how much they're going to get how much run they're going to get. So I'm wiping Brooklyn off the table on a big slate. There's no real reason to play them outside of maybe the 7:30 slate, but there's probably even enough games on that one that you don't need to take the chance. On the Milwaukee side, though, he's not that expensive. Giannis at 10-8 on FanDuel at a shooting guard position that's typically more difficult to fill than some of the other ones. Not to say that he's going to be a total chalk play here, but I think he'll be a popular play. The problem with Giannis, obviously, is the minutes do fluctuate on a game-to-game basis. Even his production per minute per game fluctuates. He has a high standard deviation. I ran the calculations on this last week, where Giannis is one of the most volatile players in the NBA. In terms of he has a high minutes volatility and he has a high per minute volatility, if that makes sense. So he is not a safe play by any means, but this is the Nets we're talking about. And if we think we're buying even a little bit low on Giannis under 11,000 on FanDuel, same price on DraftKings at 10-8. If you think that you're getting even, you know, like I said, even just a little bit of a discount, then I think you can pretty easily play him, considering the game should have, it's a real pace up game for the Bucks. Brooklyn's just bad on defense. They don't really have anyone that's going to be able to match up with him on a just, you know, one-to-one comp. So I like Giannis, not a must play by any means, but of all the high price guys, he's definitely one of the top ones in consideration. And then Michael Beasley continues to stay in the starting lineup, saw a slight minutes increase. This will be his third start in a row for the Bucks. I suspect he starts again. First game only saw 25 minutes, a little bit of a disappointment. Last game against Detroit saw 31, legit couldn't miss from the field. It was something like 10 for 14 from the field. You're not, the truth for him is somewhere in between. So against Indiana, he had 17 fantasy points. Against the Pistons, he had 41 fantasy points. He's, like I said, both of those two, I think, are outliers. I think safely putting him in around the 25 to 30 point category, if he's going to stay as the starter, is reasonable. And for that reason, 4,900 on FanDuel is just a pretty great price for him. Even 55 on DraftKings, that's a nice mid-tier price. You're usually looking for guys like that to help round out some lineups where DraftKings can be a little more difficult to make to sort of fit salary. 5,500 is typically a price point we're looking for somewhere in there. So I do like Beasley a lot. I suspect on FanDuel you see him as one of the more popular plays, considering the price hasn't climbed up to over 5,000 yet. It's going to after this game if he stays as a starter, I suspect. So just between the ownership and what he does project to do on the court, I think that this might be, we're going to see a price increase on him coming pretty soon if this is how the Bucks plan to play moving forward. Boston takes on Philly, another 7:30 game. No real injury notes here. The one piece is Jahlil Okafor is going to be back. He'll come off the bench, keeping Nerlens Noel as the starter. That probably just puts both of those guys out of contention. I think Noel was much more interesting when he was the starter and really didn't have anyone like Okafor or Embiid pushing up against his minutes. With Okafor there, I can't imagine Noel plays more than 30 minutes. That just really hasn't been the way the Sixers have wanted to just allocate their run or in the rotations. So, I mean, 28 minutes for Noel seems about, I mean, that's probably the median. He could see a few more, but he's not going to play 33 or 34 for sure. And that at 5,600 really puts it, that really diminishes his expectation. And it's a shame just because I do like playing him even at that 5,600 price point. But it's tough to do from cash game perspective, knowing that Okafor is right there behind him. And really no one else on the Sixers side of the ball interests me too much. They're blowout risk here. Boston's favored by 10. You could just see this very much could be a shape-up game where you see everyone just kind of play in that 26-minute range, and that just leaves everyone kind of out of the discussion, I think. So maybe Noel, if you think that, you know, they just are still not really wanting to play Okafor, but I actually don't even think that's the case because it's clear they want to trade him. So playing him and showcasing him does make sense. The reason he wasn't with the team before was because they thought they had a trade done. That fell through, and now he's back with the team. So kind of a messy situation in Philly, and one that I'm looking to avoid. The Boston side, again, there's blowout risk. You don't probably need to take that kind of risk tonight on a big slate for the main slates on either FanDuel or DraftKings. Isaiah Thomas, we said last week, was overpriced, and that was correct. This guy, he's great, so don't get me wrong, but he has not hit 5x on this FanDuel price in 2 weeks. So, again, game logs don't always necessarily tell the story of what you can believe about a player or what a player is going to do. And there were some bad matchups, and there are some slower matchups. Dallas, Utah, Sacramento's a slow team. Clippers aren't a great matchup. But he did have the Lakers in there. He had Portland in there. So while some of that game log might be a little schedule dependent, I just still think it's a little too expensive on a guy like Thomas. Other Celtics, Jake Crowder came back, didn't play a ton of minutes last game he played. Jaylen Brown is out now, but I'm not sure if that matters too much considering they have Crowder back. And the one guy I actually don't mind is Horford. He's 6,800 on FanDuel and a little bit cheaper on DraftKings, where I do think you can, if you believe that he's going to play 32 to 33 minutes, then a guy like Horford is in a nice situation considering the defense against centers. Although, look, he'll probably tell you he plays power forward, but he really just the defense against big men in general for the Sixers is not very good. 6,800 on DraftKings, I do think you get a little separation on him because I don't think he'll be a very popular play considering the big slate, but our system loves him, pushing up against 6 points per dollar expectation. So Horford is one guy I'll take a look at. We might be a minute too high on his minutes at 34, 33, or 32. Could be the reality with an impending blowout. So he's probably the one guy I'd want to take a hard look at in cash games. And the final 7:30 game is Detroit and Dallas. I'm tempted to just say skip here. I don't really have any interest in this game at all. One of the lowest totals on the board for any game at only 202. Detroit a slight favorite. Dallas plays so slow that I just can't. It's very difficult on a big slate to think about playing really anyone on the Detroit side of the ball. I mean, look, John Laura played a ton of minutes last game. If you think he is upon play at 4,500 on FanDuel, go for it. He played 36. He's played 34, 34, 36, and 16 minutes in the last four. If you think 34 minutes is the reality for him, then he actually is a very good play at 4,500, even with the pace considerations and just the Dallas side of the ball. But overall, this is a game that I'm just probably just going to almost completely avoid. I have no interest considering all the other juicier matchups coming here. Before we get to the 8 o'clock games, I want to take a quick break and tell you about one of our sponsors, our good friends over at Fantasy Factor. Fantasy Factor, a relatively new player in the DFS space, where you can right now, you have a chance to go over and play a variety of their offerings. Really like the games that they're putting up right now, specifically headlined by their NBA and NHL free rolls. So if you want to just kind of test the waters on Fantasy Factor and get used to their system, get used to their style, you go over, you play a couple of those free rolls that they're putting up every single day for NBA and NHL. You're not going to run into a ton of sharks over there. You are going to be in pretty safe waters, I would say. Really like our friends over at Fantasy Factor. Go over, use the promo code DFSR, play in some of those NHL and NBA free rolls, test them out, make a deposit. Think you'll be real happy. Think they're a player that's going to stick around in this space for a while. FantasyFactor.com. Go check them out. 8 o'clock games start with New Orleans going to Memphis. Memphis is a -8 favorite here. Again, this game falls somewhat into the realm of no thanks for me. Really difficult to consider playing anyone on the New Orleans side of the ball. Even with Terrence Jones out again, you figure you're going to see more minutes from Anthony Davis, but this is Memphis we're talking about. Their interior defense is elite. You don't, on a big slate, don't need to take any kind of chance really here with the New Orleans guys. You're not getting value on any of them. And really the only two main ones to consider even on just like game opponent independent is Holiday and Davis, and neither one of those guys is really in contention here considering the opponent. And honestly, the Memphis side of the ball, even with New Orleans not being a great defensive team, a lot of their minutes fall in the middle. You could see them not playing guys like Gasol and Conley a ton, so I just am probably saying skip this game, especially for the main slate. Maybe it's an 8 o'clock on one of those 8 o'clock turbo slates where there's only two games. There you might have to do it because there's just, you know, only two games to consider. You maybe get some value coming probably more on the Memphis side of the ball than the New Orleans side of the ball. But this is not a game that I'm really targeting even a little bit. Miami heads to Houston. Houston 9.5 favorites over the Heat. I think that this probably also falls into that blowout range where you're just getting a little bit worried about paying all the way up for a guy like Harden at 12-2 on FanDuel, somewhere in that same range on DraftKings, where if you're just going to be, if it's going to be that expensive and there's other games that don't have the same kind of blowout risk, then Harden, so much needs to go right for Harden here to hit value at 12, these 12-2 on DraftKings. So much needs to go correct for you to consider getting anything close to a fair price on him. So I'm just a little worried about the blowout. It doesn't help him from a usage standpoint that Eric Gordon is probably going to be back. And Gordon coming back actually knocks the minutes down for guys like Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, definitely Sam Dekker coming off the bench. So it really, we saw price increases on those guys in the short term because Gordon was not around and they needed to play some of those wing shooters just more minutes. But with Gordon coming back as the sixth man, then you're not going to see those same kind of run for those guys. So the Houston side of the ball isn't really, that's really, everyone gets devalued just a bit because Gordon coming back, and I'm also simultaneously worried about the blowout. Miami, with Waiters coming back, the same thing kind of happened for them with Waiters coming back. James Johnson was looking like a great play as a sixth man coming in. Still was seeing mid-30s minutes, but then with Waiters coming back, they don't need to rely on him at playing that kind of three hybrid four position as much. And so this is another team that just ends up all of their minutes trend toward the middle of their expectations. Sort of, they all kind of trend back to their season minute averages. And when that happens, especially when the prices have increased in the short term, you're not, again, getting great value. So I don't know. Again, 8 o'clock slate, maybe this is where you take a stab at a guy like Harden, a guy like maybe Dragic playing in a faster pace, though he doesn't get a great match against Patrick Beverley. Maybe you want to take a risk with Hassan Whiteside. You think he stays on the court? Actually, one guy for the Rockets that is interesting is Clint Capella. If Capella at center at only 5,200 on FanDuel, center is not the deepest position tonight. And Capella, while Capella doesn't have a huge ceiling on a night-to-night basis, just because, you know, he's going to play 28 to 30 minutes about. He's going to maybe get you 5x and you'd be happy with it. He's never going to completely crush, or rarely going to completely crush this price, though he does have it in him. You know, he has a 22-9 game against Atlanta. He had a 17-9 game against Orlando. So there are times where you can see it out of him. He'll get some Whiteside down low. But I actually don't mind the price on Capella at 5,200, especially on FanDuel, where center position is not all that deep tonight. So he's the one guy, really, the rest of this, short of just someone sitting or there being some injury news, which right now there is not, I don't love a ton of what I'm seeing out of that game. The 9 o'clock games start with the Lakers heading to Phoenix in a matchup of two teams where you just are absolutely rolling the dice on their minutes from a night-to-night basis. So The Suns are so funny, right? And I mean frustrating. I don't mean ha-ha funny. I mean funny, like, what the hell are you guys doing? Earl Watson sits Bledsoe out two games ago, citing rest, and then comes back, because they say he's worn down with his minutes, and then comes back two games, the next game, and plays him 39 minutes. I just don't understand. That's great. If you think he's going to play 39 minutes in this one, then he's a pretty elite option considering the matchup against the Lakers. Vegas sees this as one of the higher implied totals of the night, maybe the highest, though I don't think Golden State right now has a line, so that probably will end up eclipsing it. But even if it does eclipse it by a couple, this is still going to be the second highest line of the night. But you just simply can't trust the minutes on the Phoenix side of the ball. Forget the Lakers. You can't trust them at all. So wipe that one off the table. They're like the Nets. They are fine just running guys totally random minutes. Luke Walton obviously in full tank mode. They have no incentive to win. So forget the Lakers. I'm not interested in that at all, except for maybe a GPP standpoint. And even then, I'm not totally sure, because even on the best nights, guys like Julius Randle and D'Angelo Russell only play somewhere around 31 minutes. So forget, I would just say totally forget them. And if you can hear the exasperation in my voice, it's because trying to project teams like this is just totally and completely maddening. The Suns, though, they get a great matchup against the Lakers. Like I said, if you thought Bledsoe played 38 to 39 minutes, go for it. He's a great play. That's far from a lock. 34 minutes is probably more the reality. I kind of called it in the middle with 36 or 37. Devin Booker, his price has come up. He needs to score a ton That's really all he does. So if you're going to think he's going to get 37 minutes out of him, he's got to put up somewhere around 20 shots, and he's got to be knocking down the threes. He has upside for sure here, but there is a floor on him, and it's when the shot isn't falling. So if the shot's not falling, you're really buzzed. Other guys, like Marquese Chris starts, plays 60 minutes. TJ Warren last game started 26 minutes, over 3 from the field, 3 rebounds, and have a day, because that was the end of his night. So, and they played PJ Tucker 33 minutes off the bench. Tucker was great, but you can't trust 33 minutes either. This is all to say these teams are incredibly volatile in how they deploy their personnel. From a cash game perspective, on a huge slate, I do not think you need to take the risk with them. I think there's upside if you want to play guys like Bledsoe and Booker in tournaments. You can play a guy like Tyson Chandler in a tournament and hope that he plays 31 to 32 minutes. Same with TJ Warren. Maybe same with PJ Tucker. All these guys fall into that tournament eligibility piece that is also not safe for cash games. So you can hear my general frustration with these teams. And that's mostly just because every single time they play, we're almost just throwing up our hands in disgust, exasperation, confusion about how they are going to, who's going to play, why they're going to play, what the reasoning behind it is. Nobody knows, and we probably will never know. Spend the rest of the season puzzling out what the Suns and the Lakers plan on doing on a nightly basis. Trailblazers take on Utah. I don't mind some of the Utah side of this, where you get guys like George Hill getting matched up against the defensive, quote-unquote defensive Damian Lillard. No one's really going to play him in terms of just high ownership percentages on the main slate, I don't think. And I don't think he's a must play or anything. I do think you get a fine points per dollar value on him at 5,900 on FanDuel, 5,800 on DraftKings. Both of those prices they're nice mid-tier prices. Again, he doesn't have crazy high upside because of the way Utah just does have some shooters that run with that first team. So he's not kind of a break out of the box candidate. I think he's a nice floor guy coming off a real bad game against the Clippers, but I think you could see him hit value in a good matchup against Portland. Rudy Gobert, there's a chance that Jusuf Nurkić plays tonight. I don't know if they plan on starting him, if the Blazers plan on starting him. We saw Dwight Howard run roughshod over the Blazers last game with them playing without a center. Nurkić probably will help from that standpoint, though he's not a very good defender, though it stands to reason he's much better than Myers Leonard was when Dwight Howard was just ripping down every single board. I suppose there's a case to be made for a guy like Gobert if he plays mid-30s minutes against a team that just isn't really equipped to handle much on the defensive end at all and could still be have some pretty big defensive liabilities on the interior. Gobert at 7,400 on DraftKings is a real nice price. Almost guaranteed, I would say, for a double-double here if the game stays close, so you get those extra double-double points out of him. And with playing against a team like Portland with guys like Lillard who do like to take it to the rim, Gobert is a candidate for some blocks here as well. So Gobert's price on DraftKings a little bit more enticing than it is on, I would say, on FanDuel, 7,700 on FanDuel, probably getting just a little bit higher than I want to play for main slate cash games, though the 9 o'clock slate there is an interesting one. Probably roster a few Jazz there. And like I said, for Portland, you don't really need, there's no reason to play anyone against the Jazz, especially on a big slate. Denver and Minnesota is coming in with no line on the game right now. My guess is that's because they're waiting to hear on Emmanuel Mudiay and Wilson Chandler news. I can't think of any other reason we wouldn't have an early line on that game. Chandler and Moody are both questionable. Chandler was sick, so if he were to play, I would trust that. I take that back. The line just came in. Denver 116 implied points. Again, I'm not sure what that tells us about where Vegas sees their injury concerns, but Denver's an interesting team. They're coming off a huge, crazy huge win against the Warriors the other night where they shot, I think, 66% or something like that from three. So that's a total outlier performance. Do not pencil any team in for that kind of game. That's the reason you're able to blow out. The only way you can really blow out a team like the Warriors on any given night is to shoot the absolute lights out of the place from three. Denver did just that. They couldn't miss. They combined it with Curry running bad from the field, and they were able to turn the game into a blowout, even though the Warriors did start to pull within around 10 late in the game and then refused to bring their starters back in. So who knows? Maybe that game turns out a different way if they bring Durant and Curry back in. All that being said, Denver ends up winning by 22 in a pretty big, not defining win for them, but a real nice one. What we need to take notice of here, and I really hope we have news. Last game, that game against Golden State, Chandler sat and Moutier sat. They started Jameer Nelson and Hernan Gomez. Hernan Gomez obviously was the story. He shot 9 for 17 from the field, 6 for 9 from 3, played 43 minutes. Now, if we knew Chandler was not going to play, I would, and we already know Fried is out, and I believe Darrell Arthur is out as well. They're dealing with some major injury issues here. They don't. They're very, very thin. You could see another game where you get Juancho Hernan Gomez playing mid-30s minutes. You could get Jokic playing high-30s minutes. All the starters. Will Barton is on the table again. He played 41 minutes in that game. Even if Chandler came back, I'd still be comfortable playing. I wouldn't be as comfortable playing Hernan Gomez because coming off the bench for Denver is going to be rough. And Chandler is obviously a player, and he's a guy that will play solid minutes. So I'm very much hoping we have news on this beforehand. It's not a lock because this is a later game. It's 2.5 hours after lineup lock. Excuse me, 2 hours after lineup lock. And with an illness, I really just hope we know. If Chandler were to play, I'd put him in the mid-30s in minutes, and I'd probably want to play him again. If he was not to play, you'd probably end up seeing Hernan Gomez as a chalk start here just because of that last performance. The minutes were just crazy high. Even at 25 minutes, he's about a 5x point per dollar guy, which is great considering the 4,000 price tag. It'll be interesting to see what people do with or without this news. You can hear me kind of stumbling because I don't know what I would do either. I want to believe that Hernan Gomez could play just because they're starting to trust him. He's coming off that just huge, crazy game. They were comfortable starting with him. But the four games before that, he played 16, 16, 14, and 17 minutes. So it's not like this guy is a huge minutes guy. And we also know that Denver plays fast and loose with these rotations. I am going to keep him. This is actually the most major point of news that we're going to want to keep track of going into tonight. The status of Chandler, the status of whether or not Hernan Gomez starts, where Moutier is, and if we can play a guy like Jameer Nelson, who's also coming at a nice value, what kind of minutes we trust with Will Barton, who has been just kind of just absolutely lights out in the short term. I could see him being a chalk play even if he were coming off the bench. But remember, he played 41 minutes against the Warriors, only played 22 against the Cavs off the bench, and then 34 and 38 the two games before that. So it's not like he's a safe play. Do think he has a high floor. Minnesota is a decent matchup. They don't play a ton of defense. I'm kind of going on and on, but I'm mostly saying I'm excited about the prospect of being able to play some of these Nuggets guys. I'm just not totally right now sure who those guys are going to be. For Minnesota, we saw Andrew Wiggins shoot the lights out against the Cavs last night. He's seen a pretty sizable usage bump since Zach LaVine has went down with injury. So over the last three games that LaVine hasn't played, Wiggins took 29 shots last night, took 19 the game before, took 17, 19, then 23 and 22. That's six games. So somewhere in that range, LaVine went down. But Wiggins is still a pretty high usage guy. For him to hit value, you do need to have him shooting pretty much the entire time because he doesn't contribute a ton in the other facets of the game. So at 8,000, you're probably pushing up against what is real actual value for a guy like him. I don't think I would do it, but I would be interested to see how incentivized others are to play him tonight considering the huge performance against the Cavs last night. Karl Anthony Towns is another guy who's basically just fairly priced. He came out of the gate real hot last night in that game, sort of slowed down in the second half. He's not a guy that I necessarily want to play at 10-7, but again, Denver's defense isn't that good. So I probably am not going to go this direction, but I can definitely see others going in this direction just because you do have high minute safety on guys like Wiggins and Towns, and that does count for something. Like, you know, Towns is basically a lock to play 37 to 38 minutes tonight. Same with Wiggins or more for him. So if you believe that to be the case, you can essentially pay for minutes safety more than you can for maybe some other players. Our system's going to have a hard time bringing that out because it takes a little bit more of a median volatile approach to value. Which is not to say it's unsafe, but it's just to say that it's going to find other guys as better deals because their prices haven't been fully corrected like guys like Kat and Wiggins have because their minutes are so solid on a night-to-night basis. You're still getting good minutes out of Rubio. He was a chalk play, though. It was only a three-game slate last night. Still hit 5 or 6X on his price. I think he's actually a nice value tonight at 6,800. If he could just, even if he could have knocked down any of his shots last night, he would have really crushed his price. But he's not much of a shooter to begin with, so you really can't count on him scoring a ton. The assists came in bunches last night. He was good on the defensive end as well. So I could see Rubio being a play as well. This is a very interesting game. This is probably one of the most interesting games on the evening, and we're going to need to wait a little bit on the Denver side just to see, just to make sure we know where, you know, sort of where the minutes are going to go with the injury situations. 9:30 game, the sole line, 9:30 game, Westbrook against the Knicks. They're -7 favorites coming in. OKC gets to play a Knicks team that it's pretty bad on defense this season. There are a bunch of interesting plays here. Right now, Westbrook is coming into a lot of optimal lineups for us, even at that 12-4 price. He probably, of all of the big money guys, is the I think you can take the chance on him tonight just because the Knicks are a rough defensive team. They're not a tough defensive team. Derrick Rose is not much of a defender. They should be able to get into the open court against the Knicks. I do like Westbrook's floor here. The game doesn't project to get totally out of hand. It's good that the Knicks have some scorers in Melo and Porzingis to be able to, you know, hopefully keep it close. So on the OKC side, yes, I think I'm okay paying that price for Westbrook. I think on both sites, especially if you're going to get some punt play value in along the edges, and there's almost definitely going to be that value there tonight just because the slate is so huge. So Westbrook, I think a clear cash game play, not a must, but of all the expensive guys, I would say he's definitely the safest on this slate. Yeah, you also, I think you're getting value in guys like Oladipo and Adams. They've seen some increased usage with Cantor off the court. Adams especially have been playing a ton of minutes. He's another one of those minutes safety guys. You probably pay a little bit more than you want to for him, but 36 to 37 minutes out of him is pretty reasonable. The Knicks will likely play, I would suspect they start Porzingis and Hernan Gomez again. That's not a problem necessarily for Adams, I wouldn't say. And the Knicks actually have some value as well. I think Porzingis' price hasn't fully come up. He came back from injury and wasn't playing a ton of minutes. Now you're seeing 36-ish minutes out of him at 6,800 in a faster paced game. I like him. I do like I love Hernan Gomez on DraftKings at 5,000. I think that's actually a misprice, where you are getting solid value on him just if he's going to remain the starter. It's always a little bit iffy, I think, just because the Knicks are a hot mess and don't really know what they're doing game to game. But if you think he sticks as the center there, then him at 5,000 is another one of those solid mid-range prices that it makes rounding out lineups much easier. And if he's going to play 29 minutes, you're getting value. He was good against the Spurs last game, went 12-9, threw in some steals, and I think you can expect a similar line out of him again tonight against OKC. Two 10:30 games coming up here as we round out this huge Wednesday in the NBA. The first one is Golden State against Sacramento. Golden State comes in at a -17 favorite. That line just came in as I was talking about tonight's games. They come in, they have an implied total of 121, Kings at 104. This is one where if you want to play the guys in this game, or you're worried about not playing Warriors because of that huge total, play the 10:30 slate, and then you can, you know, try to just not have to worry about fading the blowout. -17 is not an opening Vegas line that I want to target in cash games. It's simply too high. The blowout risk is enormous. You don't need to take that risk here. Klay Thompson's coming back tonight, so that I think they were waiting on his news, I think, to understand exactly where to go with the line. This suggests that he is back. They are looking to blow the doors off the Kings. You know, you want to take a risk on a guy like guys like Boogie and Cousins tonight. Boogie is Cousins. If you want to take a risk on Boogie and or Collison tonight, if you think that the Kings can keep it even a modicum of close, then those guys actually have pretty high ceilings because the way that the Kings would actually be able to keep the game close is huge games out of those two guys. And if you think that's the case, maybe you game stack a tournament a little bit with a couple Warriors guys and those two guys on the Kings and just sort of hope that that's your separation. Because I don't know if people will go that direction so much just because of the implied blowout risk. So that would be my one recommendation for that game. I'm not really interested in it from a cash game perspective. And if you want to get some dollars in on it, you go and play the 10:30 slate and feel a little bit better that you're getting your money in good. The last game, Clippers and Atlanta. These teams are really not two teams that I ever want to target against kind of either way. Clippers have, you know, they're just, without Chris Paul, they're a team that's properly priced at this point. They, you know, for a while we were getting some deals on Austin Rivers, Raymond Felton, and maybe even J.J. Redick. Redick's still coming kind of on the cheaper side, but Blake Griffin even coming back from injury. There was a time where we were buying a little bit low on him, but that's really just not the case anymore for these guys. And while Atlanta not a fantastic defensive team, they're above average, and I don't think that this is a game that I'm willing to target too much. And I really never like targeting going the other way versus the Clippers. They play pretty slow, have good interior D. They can't defend the perimeter great, though. Mabau Mute is okay in that respect, depending on if they start him and play him minutes. So not a game I'm too excited about. I think there's a lot of other things to consider on the slate. And this is really, the 10:31 is not going to be one for at least the main that I'm going to consider really at all. All right, I think we covered it in a solo city pod here. Hope the background noises didn't drive you totally crazy as we took a long look at a full Wednesday in the NBA. Ton of things to think about today. Make sure you're checking out the free content we have going up on the site with our daily picks articles. We'll have a news and injury updates article going up in the mid-afternoon that will help set some of that stuff straight if there's things that come out through the day. And as always, our projection system is being updated in real time to account for injury news, minutes adjustments, usage adjustments, all the stuff that you would do on your own or want to consider in NBA projections. We're doing that behind the scenes, pushing it out live as fast as we think anyone in the industry. You can check out that service. It's free for 3 days and then just $29.95 a month after that. DFSR.com/membership. Enjoy the last big slate of games before the All-Star break. I'll be back again with a short Thursday pod tomorrow talking about the two games, and then we were in for a little bit of a vacation. So DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com. Go check it out, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.